Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, well, it was my turn today. I really apologize. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So sorry. My grandchildren came home today, and Lilton and I got involved in a glitter on the T-shirt project. So I sincerely apologize.
That's okay. Turnabout's fair play.
Okay, well, thank you all for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio. Up next is Brother Gregory with the Sabbath Hour, and we'll be right with you.
Welcome to the Sabbath Hour. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again about the kingdom of God, but that also brings about that we're going to be talking about the kingdoms of the world, because the kingdom of God is not of the world. And as we've talked about many times before, when Jesus said that, he used a particular Greek word, one of four or five different Greek words that are translated into world, and the one that he used was constitutional order or system of government. The kingdom of God, which was an actual form of government, not like the governments you're used to, but it was a government of independent individuals who actually cared about each other. The government of the world often has a multitude of other plans for you, and many people are often tempted into joining those governments, participating in them, applying to them. And so we see things like the city-state of Nimrod and Cain and the evil Pharaoh rising up and seemingly taking away the rights of the individual. And we'll probably have a show eventually to talk about an article we have coming up in News and Views called Does God Hate You? But I'm going to leave you in suspense as to what that's all about. Today we're going to talk about indoctrination, all the different ideas that we are indoctrinated with and where that indoctrination began. Those of you who heard our radio show this morning on Liberty Live Radio know that we had a special guest, a Colin Gunn, who produced the film Indoctrination, where he drives across the United States in a yellow school bus and talks to people all across the country. Took a couple years, I think, in the making, quite a while anyway, in the making. And it's a very informative show. You can get the DVDs fairly cheap. You can get them loaned to you through the network. You can show them publicly. They don't charge anything for that. You can get the tapes or the DVDs in bulk, pretty cheap. But they're very handy to introduce people to the idea of homeschooling. At least one section of our national community, and probably anywhere in the world, will find this video of interest, because it goes into a little bit of the history of public schools and the idea that we should be forcing our neighbor to educate us. Actually, I learned a few things from him this morning. Normally, school systems charge between $6,000 and $7,000 in expenses for the education of each student per year. So if you had two or three kids in school, that could be easily $18,000, $20,000 in expenses that the government's going to spend in order to educate those children. If you're not paying that much in property tax, or almost twice that much in property tax, then you must be getting the money to educate your child somewhere else, which, of course, is what they're doing. are getting it from the other neighbors in your community that don't have children in the school, and you're forcing them to pay for your child's education. Illegal to do that because everybody has signed up or they don't own their land or et cetera, all of which we've talked about before. But the fact is, every time you want an increased service in that school, a pool, you're going to force your neighbor to contribute to that desire. And you're going to increase his tax burden. And you'll gain because you've got three kids in school, but he'll lose. So it's goes back to Proverbs 10 where they talk about those greedy for gain and having one purse. Colin even got into on his own. We were going to steer the Are we still connected? Or maybe, oh, somebody else, I think, picked up another line somewhere. That's what it was. I thought we were, I suddenly got extra noises in my ear.
I heard that too.
Yeah, I think somebody else picked up another line on my end. So, again, it's my fault this time. But we instantly forget them. So it just distracted me for a second. But anyway, we'll try to get to a lot of this, some of the things that we put. I wrote a booklet years ago, Schools as Tools, and it was in the beginning of our homeschooling. We started homeschooling about 40 years ago. Or pretty close to that, anyway, 35 years ago. And almost nobody was homeschooling in those days. It's become very popular. But in many European countries, it's actually against the law to homeschool your children. People have actually fled countries, I think, like Sweden and Germany, in order to homeschool their children. And are actually, some of them are living in the United States as political refugees because they had to flee their home country in order to home teach their kids. And these are countries that are in the European Union and countries that are probably a part of NATO. And they actually, the parents had to flee the country, literally sneak out of the country in order to avoid being arrested. They've had their children taken away from them. They've been raided because they dare to think that they should have the right to homeschool their children. There are plenty of people in the United States that would like to do the same thing and impose that same type of restriction and control on people who are homeschooling their children. One of the interesting things, Colin Gunn was from Scotland, and he was talking about how Scotland has changed so much. Well, most Americans don't know much more about Scotland than what they learned watching Braveheart. And you would be led to believe that it was a real freedom-loving country. But it has gone another route. It's gone the socialist route. And although some of the Scottish people are probably great people, the control in that society is far greater. He says you're much freer in America. He lives now in Texas, married a Texas gal, and they have a number of kids, 6 or 8 kids, I don't know, quite a few kids. And he says the freedoms here are way more than they used to be. Well, many of us who are old can remember that the freedoms in America, actually was raised in Texas. When I was 14 years old or 13 years old, I could ride my bicycle down to the hardware store, buy a rifle and ammunition, hold it on my handlebars, and ride back home, and nobody would say boo. You can't do that anymore as a 13-year-old kid. You could do it back then. There's lots and lots of freedoms that are disappearing. Some people say, well, we shouldn't have that kind of freedom. But kids were a lot more responsible. We weren't getting shootings in the schools. Nobody was on Ritalin or Prozac or Luxol or any of these mind-altering drugs, which almost everybody who ends up shooting at people in school have been on, all by prescription. The world is changing, and one of the key things that has been changing that world is public education. In the pamphlet, Schools as Tools, we discuss the fact that in 1908 and 1914, 1917, 1920s, 1940s. There were groups of philanthropic organizations, including the Guggenheim Foundation, Ford Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, got together and had meetings to figure out ways in which they could change the way that Americans viewed history. And this all came out in the Reese Commission. And the attorney who was in charge of trying to make sure that the Reese Commission did not go too far in its investigation of these wonderful philanthropic organizations, actually was the one who they sent into the archives the handwritten notes taken at the meetings of the Ford Foundation. And the head of the Ford Foundation at this time had no idea what was in those notes. But they sat there and they planned to encourage wars, like World War I, lengthen the period of time of wars, alter school books, appoint scholars to write new school books that made history look different, made people think history was a different way than it really was, so that they could alter the way Americans viewed history and they could move the country into a particular direction. And they had those books written. They underwrote the printing of them and they all got into schools. And now the parents I'm talking to and the grandparents I'm talking to on the radio have a view of history that is not true. It's not correct. And they learned it in school. And they learned it in school because someone designed their education and used the school as tools. Now, that alone is not the problem with public education. We also show in the pamphlet or talk about in the pamphlet that schools in the 1940s and 1920s, fifth grade math books, had problems that eighth graders and even high school students cannot answer today in fifth grade books. The vocabulary required back in the lower grades in the 30s and 40s was higher than that required to graduate and move on to high school. They are literally dumbing down your children. And you, if you take up those books and look at those books over a period of time, you'll see that that's actually what took place. And I stumbled on that and then later discovered about the Reese Commissions and those exposures. To tell deliberate lies while genuinely believing in them, to forget any fact that has become inconvenient, and then when it becomes necessary again to draw it back from oblivion for just so long as it is needed, to deny the existence of objective reality and all the while to take account of the reality which one denies, it systematically undermines the solidarity of the family. Now that's from George Orwell's 1984, but that's exactly what was also a part of this plan. And I don't think that the plan was simply created by Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, and the Guggenheim. They don't even, they're completely unaware. They think they're philanthropic people. They don't know what was going on, you know, 60 years ago in these board meetings. But there is a spiritual nature that is getting into people, and it gets into the rich, but it also gets into the poor, that wreaks havoc with righteousness. And the undermining of the family is an essential part of gaining totalitarian control. Where did we go wrong? Somebody who I actually know from many, many years ago posted on their Facebook that you don't really think Obama caused this problem. I'm voting for Obama in the next election. That's what they said. The reality is Obama isn't going to solve the problem. neither is Romney. The problem goes way back, and we have to change. In order for us to deal with this problem, we have to change. William T. Harris once said, our schools have been scientifically designed to prevent over-education from happening. Now, he actually said that in 1899, U.S. Commissioner of Education, between 1889 and 1906. Scientifically designed to prevent over-education. There is an attitude and a spirit that is orchestrating these changes. And the very people I'm addressing, the adults now that I'm addressing, not the homeschooling kids or the kids that are about to enter public school, but the adults are making decisions based on information that they think is true, that is simply not true. And so here I am. Strange times are these in which we live. When old and young are taught falsehoods in school, and the one man that dares to tell the truth is called at once a lunatic and a fool. Now, that's a quote from Plato. This problem is not a new problem. It's a very old problem. Mark Twain once said, the trouble with people isn't their ignorance. It's the number of things they know that just ain't so. And you have to approach this problem from the point of view that you might be under a strong delusion. You might be in error now. You might be having an opinion or a view that is absolutely incorrect and willing to look at all things anew. To approach this idea, because I don't think there's too many more important things. I mean, people worry about Federal Reserve and all these things, and of course those are, or government getting too powerful. There's probably no single more important thing to do than to get your children out of school. Your children, your grandchildren, whoever it is, and get them out of school and start working together with them and with other people that are looking for the truth and start educating them at home. This needs to be done on a massive level, not just rare homeschoolers here and there. And the homeschooling is growing, but so is the opposition to it. And so we want to encourage everybody to do that, but we're coming up on another break, and so I will hold off until after the break to pursue some of these ideas that really have been long neglected in our society and is really the cause of bringing about the present dilemma and problems that we see. So I'll turn it over to you, Cheryl, and you can take us into a break.
Okay, that sounds good. Actually, we have a caller. Would you like to take the caller before or after the break?
It's up to you. I'd be glad to take it now.
All right, let's do that. Fishhead, your mic is live.
Hi. Actually, my name is Barry. That's just a Skype name, a silly Skype name. Sorry about that. A lot of people get really confused about that and like, oh, is this some kind of hippie guy or what's going on? But I just wanted to intervene and maybe just make a comment or two and ask a question with the gentleman that's on right now. And I kind of cut in the middle sentence. So I'm not what was your name, sir? I'm sorry.
Gregory,
okay, I'm Barry. It's nice to meet you. My wife is actually a Spanish teacher at high school here in Tennessee. And, you know, so, I mean, there are a lot of things. We don't actually have kids yet. And we've only been married going on 3 years now since I got back from a fifth appointment to Afghanistan in the Army. And so, you know, marriage is still new. We're still working on the kid thing. We want to have children. And how to raise those children has been a really big question that we've both been asking each other. Now that we're, you know, I'm 36 and she's 40, and hopefully that'll happen with us. But if not, you know, there's always other options. But at any rate, her being a teacher, I mean, what do you think about the loss of jobs as far as people going to homeschool with their children? People that are teachers, people losing their jobs left and right as school teachers, and people that have gone through the amount of education as such as my wife has with the master's degree and an EDS with a foreign language. And you know what that's going to have an effect on her. I mean, she would have to go back to school and do something completely different.
Well, that might be what's necessary, but the reality is talking about people homeschooling and trying to get more and more people to do it does not affect public school one bit, because the way the law works is even if you're homeschooling, we're still paying the taxes that provides
right.
for that school.
Right, and the person
the worst
being
thing that
yeah,
our homeschooling idea would do is stop overcrowding.
True. I agree with you on that. And you know, another thing is really that a lot of people don't know is even if you're homeschooled, if the child is interested in playing sports in that particular county or wherever they're zoned for, depending on what state you're in. You know, different states do things different ways as far as education. They can go to that school and play a sport and still be homeschooled.
They certainly could in many
they
states.
They can here in Tennessee,
we
absolutely.
Actually, we were offered that. They could go play sports. They could go...
And interact.
Well,
that's such an important
anyway.
Thing for me.
What
you know,
the reality is, we wouldn't even participate in that way because of the fact that schools, public schools, are based on the idea that it's okay to force your neighbor to contribute to what you desire, to force them to provide for you welfare. I mean, public school
neighbor,
is welfare.
Can you put it in a layman's terms for me? Your neighbor.
Public school is welfare.
Your neighbor.
Public
you mean.
School is socialism. It is
okay. By making it a necessity to go to school?
No, by making it a compulsory public school education, which didn't exist in this country originally. It didn't come around until around 1850.
Right.
It was brought in by a lot of progressive thinkers who liked the idea. I mean, the idea of public education is part of the Communist Manifesto. It was not a part of the original Constitution.
Okay, what do you think about private schools then?
I think private schools can be very good. But I still think that home education, a lot of people think, I know a number of teachers that actually were public school teachers and are advocates of homeschooling.
Okay.
I mean,
my wife does not disagree with it.
Right.
But she says, well, what the heck would happen? Excuse me. Sorry. What would I do? I mean, because I'm a disabled vet, we would be homeless.
Well, the reality is we're not trying to do away with public schools. We're not trying to exercise that authority over people. Is that Cheryl's voice I heard coming in there?
Yeah, I think
yeah.
so.
I have a little different take on this. You know,
okay.
I'm looking at things from a different perspective than both of you are.
Uh-huh.
Because look at here, you if you had a teacher who was out of school, out of work, within the public school system, and you wanted to strengthen your homeschool system, why not contribute directly to someone who would be homeschooling your child?
Well, what
and
if
make
it have been in my wife, though?
In other words, absorb this out-of-work teacher into the community, whether it is a high school teacher or whether it is a preschool teacher that would be with children.
Okay. So,
take this for instance, the taxes for educating a child.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The minimum
I know.
Taxes for educating a child is $6,000 per year.
I know.
John actually pointed.
It's unreal, especially in Tennessee.
Well, that would mean that your wife, if you gave her the money that would go to the public school education, and say she tutored 10 kids, just 10
right.
kids, that's all she's got to tutor,
right.
like the one-room schoolhouse. At $6,000 apiece, she'd be making $60,000 a year.
Oh, yeah, which would be fantastic. I mean, right now with her tenure and being a teacher for 14 years and her degrees and everything, she doesn't do too terribly bad as for, you know, for a teacher in Tennessee, which has one of the lowest, you know, is typically known as one of the lower income for teachers. That's why a lot of people in this area moved to Chattanooga. And then teach in Georgia, right across the state line, you know, so to make more money, of course. But, you know, I agree with everything you're saying. But there again, I'm just like, well, you know, if we did have a child, I could stay home. I have a high school degree. I have a high school diploma. I could probably stay home and because I am an injured vet. I am homebound because I had a head injury that caused me to be epileptic. I can't go many places. I have to stay home while she's at work. So it would be perfect. I could do that. I'm in a situation to where I can agree with you, but I would be afraid for my wife's job. And I know you're not saying out it completely. And I understand that. But to get more people that might be a little bit more apt to it to do homeschooling, I don't disagree with that at all. But I would still love for my wife to still have a job at 6 years old if she wanted to and didn't want to retire quite yet.
I don't think public school is ever going to go away.
Okay. See that, you know, that kind of made me nervous when you guys were talking about that, though, you know?
Certainly not in the next 10 years.
I think that public school will eventually go away because, I think the government is about to go belly up and bankrupt.
Well, I mean, it's the state, though, right? I mean, even though the state is part of the government, it comes to the state, and like you said, tons of income tax or state tax that we have to pay for those public schools to run. That won't ever go away. I just have to say that. I mean, I don't think that will ever go away.
Well, the fact is, we should not imagine that the United States is going to continue to exist forever. There isn't any government that ever existed forever.
True. But I mean, what makes – can I ask you a real quick question and then I'll get out of your hair?
Sure.
And thank you for letting me on the air. I greatly appreciate it. And I'm trying to be as open to this and to your ideas and what you were talking about when I was listening before I called in as I can. But when you go the route of saying that it's a communistic way – as far as the public schools, I'm a little confused on what you mean by that. Now, I know what communism is, and I know what control is, and I know what the difference between all of that is, but I'm a little confused on what you mean by you think that it's a communistic way of life. I didn't use the term communistic way of life,
but the fact is public education.
Right, is
provided at government expense, which means at your neighbor's expense, because the government doesn't really produce money; it takes money from others. It's a redistribution of wealth.
But the
process.
School and teachers.
It is one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. It was that idea, and if you research into who was promoting public education back in the 1850s, 1860s, you will find out that it was socialists. And people imagine you cannot have education without public school education, and that's not the case. We didn't have health care, welfare, Social Security, public education in this country for decades and decades.
Right.
And people were not dying in the streets.
Even the veterans. Which I absolutely get nothing from after 5 deployments.
people were actually taking care of one another.
Right.
And we had this is one of the most, just now they had a fire in California where farmers lost thousands of acres of grazed land where their animals have nothing to eat. Some one man donated $8 million in hay and feed. Just put it on trucks and starts hauling it down there. Gave it away.
Right.
That is what made this country great, not
right.
compulsory education.
Right. And I, you know, I agree with you in a lot of different ways about, you know, what you're saying. It's just that, you know, I could see where it would strike a nerve with a lot of people, just even mentioning communism in America. For whatever reason,
shake them up.
Not even necessarily shake them up.
Well, I say it to shake them up, but the fact is, if you read the Communist Manifesto,
I understand where you're coming from, but that's going to make people, in a way, if you're going about saying that in that way, that's going to make people think that everything else is going to become communistic.
Well, the fact is, all 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto are law in the United States today. It's
okay.
just a question of extreme.
Is that a fact or is that a matter of your opinion?
No, that's a fact. And we cover that in the book, Covenants of the Gods. We go down the list and we show people what the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto are. And they actually are law in the United States.
Okay.
There's over 700 footnotes in that book that show you what laws we're talking about.
And who originally...
there's a gradual change. America is not like it was 50 years ago, 100 years ago. It's altering. And unless we look at the details of that alteration, this is creeping up on us more and more and more. And we're going to pay a terrible price unless we wake up and examine these things. I know I say a lot of things that seem outrageous, but we have the books and we have the footnotes. We show you the research to show you exactly what we're talking about.
Right.
The number of people that were advocates of public education were actually public school teachers, a psychologist who was going to prove that homeschooling was bad and the children were going to be socially retarded, etc. After researching it for 5 years, all his kids are being home taught because he discovered that he was wrong.
Well, and one other thing to comment on just real quick, and I know I said that before, I was going to get out of y'all's hair, but I have to at least acknowledge this as a point maybe. You know, when you do homeschool people, kids, they are being kind of, in a sense, if you don't let them go play sports, you don't let them go interact with other children and just maybe even the neighborhood kids or whatever the case may be, what kind of a shock is it going to be when they get out there in college? Are you going to be able to homeschool them in advance?
Well, I actually have statistics that we quote on that, that homeschooled children are actually in demand in most of the major colleges because they find out that they fit in better.
And they don't just go nuts and go wild because they haven't experienced a lot of the things that you would experience in high school. Because I know going to a private school, even just being sheltered that much and only graduating with 52 people, about me and 10 friends of mine don't remember about 5 years after high school. I'll just put it that way. And, of course, everybody has free will. But it was because of that sheltered lifestyle. And because it was a Christian, you know, church of whatever, you know, based school, that we went out there and said, oh, my God, we didn't experience this at all. Let's go for it. Let's do it. And it became dangerous to a lot of my friends.
Right.
You know, because they went full force because they didn't have – and I'm not saying that high school kids should experience this and experience that and experience drugs and experience partying and all that – just to experience it so they won't experience it later. That's not where I'm going with that. I'm just saying, you know, it's kind of letting a tiger out of the cage, you know, in a zoo. You know, you never know what it's
I think it would probably equate to, a kid in a candy store.
Right.
If he's never allowed to experience the temptation of those things. But the fact is most homeschoolers, according to psychological examination by groups of psychologists, more than one psychologist who have studied this issue with the intention of proving that homeschooling is a detriment, have found out that homeschooling produces a more well-rounded child who is more of a self-starter, more capable in college, graduating from Princeton, graduating from Yale,
nice.
Even graduating from Harvard, with major achievements behind that, and they're all homeschoolers. Now, all parents who homeschool their children don't do a good job.
So I don't know. See, that's where I was going. I don't know if I would be. I said I could do it, and I'm I'm obviously in the position to where I could, because I
well,
am.
Well, I think that you would be surprised that there's so much help out there now for homeschooling curriculums would be quite capable. I know of women who are a particular woman who was from another country where English was her second language. And she put all her children, 8 children, through high school, home to teaching them. And they all went on to be quite achievers.
Nice.
It does not take a college degree. It takes love.
Right. I couldn't imagine 8. We just want one. We'd be happy with one healthy child. My wife is 40. She thinks it's all over and done with. But she'll be surprised. I think we're going to be blessed. But, I agree with a lot of things you're saying. Of course, there's some things that are a little, kind of have me scratching my head a little bit.
Well, that's good. I want you to scratch your head.
All our
books are free online.
Okay.
You can look it up at hisholychurch.org. I'm sure if you do a search every one of our pages has a Google search engine on them, so you can look up things like Communist Manifesto, and it'll take you right to the page that talks about that.
Yeah, because I would love to know who came up with communism, and why that's spreading across the whole world, and why we're allowing it to get into the United States. And that could be a whole other discussion for a whole other show.
Yeah, it certainly would be. But the fact is, the concepts of communism have been around for thousands of years. Particular label, of course, it began with men like Karl Marx and Lenin.
Right.
Them. But we mention all those people in the books, in the book Higher Liberty. And we try to bring this perspective so that people, and again, like I say, all our books have huge amounts of footnotes, so you can check it out, because we're not just making this up. It's not just an opinion.
And, you see more and more commercials on TV now about how kids can be homeschooled even through the Internet, which the teachers would still get paid.
What do
you think
it could be?
Not to bring a whole yet another question from me. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Thanks so much for you guys' time. No, this is so interesting to me because my wife happens to be there. You know what I mean? And yet, she has learned over the years to just ignore the people that give her an issue, but don't completely. I mean, not ignore, but leave them alone until they're ready to open up and want to learn. And even though it is a foreign language and kids don't take it that seriously, for a lot of kids, the mom and dad at home, especially here in Tennessee, in the mountains, they tend to say, well, why the hell do you need to learn that language? And it's just racist this, it's racist that, blah, 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 blah. That just goes where we live. It goes with the territory, so to speak. But
right.
I think, there are other options as well. As far as these new ideas where kids are actually sitting down in a computer for a certain amount of time and they are considered, quote unquote, homeschooled. That's basically what it is. And a teacher that is getting a salary, maybe not anywhere close to what my wife is getting or what someone in, say, Washington State or Oregon or somewhere else, California, where I've lived before, might get. But, at any rate, it's an income, and they're still helping kids. And, they're being able to do it through, say, Skype or technology, basically.
Right.
So, would you still consider that? Along the lines of that idea, the
problem isn't just that they're not in the house. The problem is multifaceted, but basically, we're not for socialism. Karl Marx was for democracy. He advocated democracy because he says democracy leads to socialism and socialism leads to communism.
Gotcha.
Socialism is where you get benefits provided to you by a government who takes the wealth away from other people in their community.
Okay.
And redistributes those benefits equally. The reality was in America, in 1776, had a higher degree of literacy than it does today.
Yeah.
Why did it have that higher degree of literacy without public education? They had it because people knew it was their responsibility to educate their children. Thomas Jefferson created libraries at his own expense because he knew libraries were important. Today, the libraries are almost entirely government-funded.
I actually go to a library every once in a while when I go in with my wife when I get quote unquote cabin fever, and I want to get out of the house and get away from the 8 dogs that we have. I know that sounds ridiculous, but at any rate, we have plenty of room for them, so why not give them a good home? And with me being home as much as I am, but when I do go down the mountain into the valley, and she drops me off at the library. She keeps going on to school to her job. I'm actually usually the only one in the freaking library the whole time,
That's another thing is that most people can now, you can go online and get a million books.
Everything that you would get in a library.
And you can look up everything, and that's not necessarily a government-financed operation, although the Internet to some degree is. Provided by the government. Most of your Google searches and everything is private enterprise. The fact is your educational process,
mm-hmm.
how you obtain education, how you obtain knowledge and information, the means by which you use alters society more than the information itself. And that's why we're saying that we should work very hard at getting back to individual responsibility, educating. Homeschoolers gather together all the time to take their kids to projects and work together with other families.
Oh, that's awesome.
They are educating, and the fact is they score 30% higher across the board than public school educated children, even though most of the parents that are homeschooling their children are blue-collar workers, not the rich, not the college-educated people. Most of your homeschoolers
like me.
I'm
high school educated, but military doesn't really count for education.
The children that are homeschool are still scoring 30%, not 3%, 30% higher than public school educated children.
One thing that my wife has brought up that just hit me. Is that, what's to say that the kid is actually doing the work?
You mean in the homeschooling
environment? In a homeschool environment, somebody's doing it for them. That is such a huge, huge test.
Yeah, that's just not the case because where homeschoolers are forced to have public testing, their statistics are based on testing that they're given the tests where their parents aren't there. I can guarantee you that I'm not doing the problems for my kids.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, over the years, my experience is that I've often been tutoring kids that were going to public school and not learning what my kids learned 4 or 5 years before.
Right. Okay, so I didn't know that part, and that was just something that she brought up because she didn't understand the whole homeschooling issue. She didn't understand, it is an issue according to what you're saying, but that whole idea of how do you know the kid's really doing it? That did cross my mind, but now that you say they have to go to the high school to actually do the SAT, to do the state equivalent tests,
kids that when you go on to college, you have to take college entrance exam. Now, my experience with my own kids when they, my daughter, for instance, when she went on to college, she went and took the entrance exams with the salutatorian from the local school.
Uh-huh.
They happened to be good friends, and so they both went in at the same time. My daughter passed with very high grades in the taking of this entrance exam and placement exams, while the salutatorian from the public schools
had to
go back and take bonehead math.
Oh, my gosh.
And it wasn't because she was stupid. She just simply wasn't taught what she should have known.
You know,
the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the fact
that
when you test these kids, they do score higher.
Right, you're right. I can see.
And you can't fake that.
Well, now that you've explained to me your idea and what you're trying to come across and what you're trying to put out there, now that I've been kind of put it into layman's terms, because I have to have that a lot, especially for my wife. You know, she is not Hispanic. She is from the mountains. She's from here, but she's very highly educated, of course, as I was telling you.
I can tell you this, that if she's multilingual, she could probably get a job almost anywhere in America and it wouldn't have to be teaching.
Yeah, I mean,
but we're about out of time for the show, so I'm going to have to let you go.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Again, I didn't realize that I was going to end up taking so much. But it's just such a thing that hits home with me.
Okay.
You know? But I greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much for letting me on the air. I greatly appreciate your ideas.
Thanks for your call, Brian.
Great. Have a good day.
Okay.
Thank you. Hang in there, Barry. We'd love to continue the conversation after we wrap up with Brother Gregory, if you'd like. So feel free to stick around.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if he wants to, that's fine.
Yeah, I may not be here, but they'll have other people here.
Yeah, I can definitely,
Okay, are we still on, Cheryl?
Yes, we are. Yeah,
oh, okay.
If you want to take a few minutes to wrap up, we'll take a little extended commercial break, and then we'll be back with more conversation.
Okay, well, we'll, there were a lot of other notes here. Maybe we'll cover them another time, but we have the whole article, Schools as Tools, at hisholychurch.org. It's in our sermon section. And we go through and we give you the sites and sources for much of this information and statistics. And actually, there's a great deal more information out there. But homeschooling is really important. And we'll put what we talked about for 2 hours this morning and a half hour on Blog Talk this morning, we'll put them all together in audio format, and we have them on our websites in archive format so that you can watch that whole topic and cover it. So I think the call was great that it gave us some personal insight into that. But, we have to take a good hard look at a lot of these institutions that we automatically think are important or essential, or that our kids would not get educated if we didn't have public school education. And the fact is that kids were getting educated better before public school education. Yeah, there were areas of the country where people were not well educated, but that will eventually iron itself out. Bureaucratic control will actually change the nature of your society, and it has, and not for the better. But, you know, we still think that we're going to get away with that. But anyway, we're at the end of another program, I see, so I won't go on farther with it. But we'll see you next week.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us again, Brother Gregory. You're so welcome. This is awesome. I'm going to take a little break, and we need to do a little extended break because we missed our early one, so please feel free to stick around. I'd love to pick up this conversation about public education and private education homeschooling. I know Ms. Cookie has some views on that, so we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.